One more time, very good morning to you all, my dear brothers and sisters and friends of the persecuted church. It's a great honor and pleasure for me to be here to stand in front of you as a living proof that the Lord has answered your faithful prayers. I have heard that many of you were praying for me, and it's such a joy to meet with you and to hear even individual stories, how you have experienced that when I was arrested, when I was later on facing death penalty, and after that sentenced to life imprisonment in Sudan. In fact, the life imprisonment in Sudan doesn't mean that you have to die in prison, it's limited by 20 years. By then they added some extra years for other articles, because I was actually originally accused of 7 different articles and ended up with 8 different articles. They even added one more. They said that I have taken photos of military objects, which was a complete lie. And so this is a wonderful testimony, what I have experienced in this time with the Lord. But you know, I have always felt it as a great honor and privilege that I was able to serve persecuted Christians, because we have been once helped by courageous brothers and sisters from Western countries who risked their lives or times in prison when they were smuggling Bibles and Christian literature into Czechoslovakia. And you know, my testimony is always like a series of closed doors and open doors. And it was alternating all throughout all my life. At first, you know, we were behind the Iron Curtain, which was really an iron fence, actually 3 fences, and the middle one was charged with electric power. And it was around all the borders with countries that were the at that time called capitalist countries. And, you know, even though it seemed to be quite tightly closed, in 1989, the Lord has opened this door. And we were free. And we immediately started to inquire how we could help other Christians. And so I at first got involved as a volunteer for the Czech Voice of the Martyrs that has been founded in 1992. And I started to volunteer and travel to meet with persecuted Christians. I worked 20 years in healthcare, and I was a 10 years hospital director in Czech Republic. But again, you know, something that was absolutely hardly to imagine under the communists, that son of the pastor will be the hospital director, that happened to be possible under the new freedom. But the Lord, after 10 years of me being in that position, I started to see that the Lord has been closing this door of my health career, and He called me to work full-time for the persecuted church. And so another great privilege to serve full-time and visit brothers and sisters around the world who have been experiencing persecution. Currently, the family of the Wombrun missions that are sometimes called Voice of the Martyrs, Release International, HMK in Germany, various names, they have one thing together common, and that is that we help Christians in countries where they are persecuted, and that makes us unique. We do not work in just humanitarian projects wherever Christians suffer, but we only help those who suffer because of their Christian witness. And the Lord allowed me to meet many courageous Christians, not only those who have lost their possession, their jobs, their inheritance, their friends, but also those who have really lost their beloved ones because they were killed, mothers, fathers, children, brothers, sisters. But the Lord also allowed me to meet very courageous believers who have also lost parts of their bodies because they didn't want to renounce their Christian faith. In Muslim countries, sometimes Christians are killed straight away, but Muhammad instructed its followers to, in order to intimidate the Christians, to mutilate their bodies by cutting off their left arm and right leg. And I can tell you that the Lord gave me the privilege that I was able to interview several Christians who have been missing either both or one of these parts of their bodies. Because they, despite standing in front of death, they just didn't want to renounce their Christian faith. And I can tell you that I have got deeply encouraged by these brothers and sisters who were missing these parts of their bodies. In fact, I have learned a lot personally from the persecuted Christians. I learned from them that they considered it as a privilege from the Lord to suffer for the name of Christ. That's the way how they understood Philippians 1:29, because Paul says, it has been granted to you as a privilege, not only to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for his name. And so I studied the Bible, and I started to build up my, what I would call, persecution theology. And I realized also that, when going through the scripture, when the first ever persecution started with the disciples, after they've been intimidated not to preach in the name of Christ, they were beaten up and told not to preach in the name of Jesus. But when they left the council, you read in Acts 5:41 that they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for the sake of the name of Christ. And I can tell you that I have seen many joyful Christians when they were going through persecutions. And later on, because I've been traveling around the world and encouraging Christians with the same words. I was telling the words from 2 Timothy 3:12, when Paul is saying that everyone who wants to live godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And so, nowadays we hear sometimes a different gospel. We hear that if you become a Christian, you should be wealthy, healthy, happy, and everything should be all right now. I have found out that in Gospels and in the Epistles, and especially in the book of Acts, we have records of a different gospel. And Apostle Paul was strengthening and encouraging young believers with the following words. He said that we must enter the kingdom of God through many tribulations. This is what's written in Acts 14:21. And if you read it carefully. He was strengthening and encouraging them. You might find it quite strange to encourage someone to follow Christ without any compromises by saying that you will go through many tribulations. But as I was teaching others, the Lord has allowed this to happen to me personally. I've been overseeing the work in the Middle East and Central Asia, and since 2011 I was only focusing on Africa. I was overseeing probably 200, sometimes 250 different projects in 27 different countries just in Africa. And I can tell you that the number of countries where Christians are being persecuted is growing. And so I happened to go through this period when the Lord, exactly like Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians, in the first chapter, verse 4, that the persecution that I and we were telling you about, this has also happened to us. And so I ended up going through a difficult time, as you probably remember from the video. I spent 14 and a half months in prison, and it started by the arrest at the airport after just 4 days trip, when I just wanted to document the persecution of Christians. And out of the 4 days trip, it happened to be 445 days of interesting several stages in my personal life, my personal spiritual life. In the first 4 months, I was so much concerned and praying that the Lord would release me from prison. But the Lord showed me that he had a purpose with me in prison, and I was often in solitary confinement. I spent 4 months in solitary confinement, and I can tell you that for me personally, it was the most wonderful time, You know, the Islamists that were at first limiting my personal freedom, slandering me, and then physically attacking, beating and torturing, eventually came up with the idea that they would do waterboarding on me. And, you know, waterboarding is a way of torture when they put you on your back and they cover your mouth and with a cloth and they start pouring water on it. And this gives you the feeling that you are getting drowned. And I knew at that time, because I was not only malnourished, but after a hunger strike that I started because they didn't want me to allow any contacts with my family or embassy, they put me into hospital after 4 days of hunger strike. They forced me to receive an infusion of glucose so that they wanted to make sure that I would not pass away. But they also tested my blood. And they realized that I was heavily anemic. My hemoglobin was 81 grams per liter, which is, simply speaking, I could say that I have lost half of my blood. And that clearly explained in the situation how I felt. You know, if your hemoglobin is that low, you know, you will, your body and especially your brain will not have enough oxygen. And this means that you cannot remember things, you cannot concentrate your mind. And I was in a desperate situation. And the verse that Pastor read this morning, what Paul said, I've actually lived through that verse. You know, I was at the bottom of my physical and emotional strength when I was heavily anemic and being beaten by the Islamists. But, you know, many people sometimes tell me that they admire my faith, but I tell them I don't feel like that. I felt very weak. But as exactly Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:10, when I am weak, then I am strong. So the Lord led me through this recognition of my personal limits. And He has glorified His name right in that situation. When I was really worried about my mental health, because I had the impression that I may get mad out of the situation when I didn't know from which side I will be hit. I was in a cell with six other ISIS guys who were not only praying five times a day, but they were also reading Quran, three, four people reading Quran out loud the whole day. And that situation, when you are not allowed to speak out loud, it brought me to the point that I really started to doubt about my mind. And I was deliberately asking the Lord, please keep my mind sound. And the Lord started, even though I could not remember the passages of Scripture because of my anemia that I have memorized when I was young, but the Holy Spirit started to remind me several passages of Scripture that gave me the strength to continue every day or every week. The verse that really encouraged me was from Philippians 4:7. The Lord, Paul says, and he's writing about the heavenly peace that surpasses all human understanding. And he says, this peace will guard your minds and hearts in Christ Jesus. So I was assured that the Lord was with me and that He kept my mind sound. And you know, when I was really desperate, I was often asking, I could not concentrate my mind to formulate even the words of my prayer. So the Lord showed me the text in my mind from Revelation 4, when we read about the four beings that are in front of the throne of God. And day and night, they glorify the name of the Lord, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. And I told to myself, if they can do it day and night for eternity, why couldn't I do it for a day, week, months, or maybe a year? So I started to glorify the name of the Lord and really started to experience deep peace. And also, at the same time, when I look into the eyes of my attackers, the ISIS guys, I realized that there was a spiritual warfare going on. The more I was in my mind silently praying and by exalting the name of the Lord, you know, when I look into their eyes, it was like looking in the eyes of the devil. You know, and we had many discussions with them. They were so proud of their Muslim faith, and I was in a position of like their slave. I was supposed to wash their underwear, wash all the dishes, wash even the toilet with my bare hand. And they were just asking me questions. And if they didn't like my answer, I got hit. And you know, the Lord gave me a wisdom to share gospel through my answers. You know, we read in 1 Peter 3:15 that we should be always ready to give account of the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. But we should do it with respect. And that is what I was always trying to do. And the Lord gave me the right words to tell them what was the main core of the gospel. But their attitude towards me, you know, you would be surprised. All these ISIS guys were university graduates. And not only from Sudan, they were from those who studied also in UK. And they were doctors, pharmacists, engineers, people at the age of my children, 22 maybe to 28 years old. But the Lord rescued me from their hands just on the day when they were planning to do the waterboarding on me. There was one guard out of many guards that were there who were actually afraid of the Islamists, and they were actually following their orders. And there was one guard who was not, and he was hated by the ISIS guys because he was doing his duty according to the rules. And he heard that there was something going on and in our cell, and he was hated because he was often listening secretly to the conversations in the cells and reporting it to the interrogators. And so the Lord sent him on that day, and when I was almost getting ready for the waterboarding, he opened the doors of the cell and told me to take all my belongings and leave the cell. And I was literally like Daniel when he was taken out from the den of lions. You know, when we read the scriptures, you know what Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:17. You know, I had this privilege to actually live the scriptures. You know that Paul writes in this 2 Timothy 4:17. He says, when he's complaining that he was actually left alone, even at the court, he says, "But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom." So I had this privilege, you know, to really live this scripture and experience. But later on, you know, I can say that I came through five different prisons. And every move from one prison to the other one always meant like going from bad to worse. You know, I have later on even remembered, even though I was considering the first prison like the most difficult one, and the conditions there very bad, the next prison was even worse. And so we were sometimes in the cell, probably like 25 square meters, and we were more than 40 people squeezed into the cell. It was really hot, and I could not breathe, but the Lord was with me and strengthened me even through that. And when I started to share the gospel among the Muslims in the cell, they put me into solitary confinement again. And I have to admit that I like to be alone. When I travel, I always look for the single bed room, even though in this cell there was no bed. We were just laying on the floor. Actually, for 8 months, I was sleeping on the floor. I had more food. I didn't have to fight because, you know, in one sense, we are all eating from one bowl, just boiled hard skin beans with moldy bread. And the water that we were drinking was really dark, maybe even darker than this wood. We had to wait until the mud settled in the bottle. But 3 days after being again in solitary confinement, my joy was even greater. The consular officer from the Czech embassy in Cairo, which was the nearest embassy, he brought me a Bible. You know, I have asked many times for the Bible because, you know, when I traveled as a tourist, and I always had to pretend to be a tourist, I did not carry the printed Bible with me, but I have my Bible even now, probably more than 200 different translations in many different languages. So they took my phone, so I didn't have a Bible. I asked for the Bible, and they were laughing at me, saying that they only had Qurans there. But after 5 months of my prayer life being deepened a lot, the Lord allowed me to have a Bible. Such a wonderful moment when I had the Bible in my hands. And I started to read the Bible. I only could read when there was enough light, which was from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And I had to stand in the window and just to lean my Bible on the bars from in the window. But I was so hungry after the scripture that I read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation within 3 weeks. And then I continued to read it all over again. And in the 9 months that I had my Bible in prison, I read the Old Testament 6 times and New Testament 10 times. And I was permanently every day reading Book of Psalms, my most favorite part of the Bible. I'm not reading, saying this to impress you, but I'm just trying to encourage you to really go deeper into the Word of God. When my reading plan was like Monday, Gospel of Matthew, Tuesday, Gospel of Mark, Wednesday, Gospel of Luke, Thursday, Gospel of John, and so on and so forth, I started to realize and understand the Scripture from totally different perspective. And the Lord started to open my mouth and give me new understanding of it. You know, at first I was not allowed to have a pen, but I had one secretly hidden in my clothes. And I had papers, the only papers at first I had were letters from my family. So on the other side of the letters, I started to write my sermons, my new discoveries from Scripture. And I was always wondering, why is that, Lord, I had such a wonderful time with Scripture? And the answer came 3 months later. You know, when after 8 months being in prison, our court case eventually started. And we had to be transferred to a different prison. And that was a huge desert prison in Al-Huda, about 2 hours drive from Khartoum. And in this huge prison, I lost my comfort from the solitary confinement to being put into the cell with 100 other prisoners. Real criminals, you know, murderers, child abusers, rapers, thieves, drug dealers, all kinds of criminals that they were fighting each evening, and there were injuries quite serious almost on a daily basis. But in this prison, where a majority of prisoners are Muslims, they have, and that's the rule there, that every 4 cells there, which is roughly 400 prisoners, must have their own mosque with their imam, their muezzin, and their sheikh, all of them from the prisoners. But for the non-Muslim prisoners, the prison authorities have just turned one of these cells for normally 100 prisoners, where we were squeezed in, into a small chapel. And on the first day, brothers from this chapel came, and they invited us to join them in the fellowship. At that time, they were meeting in this chapel twice a week, on Fridays and Saturdays. But when me and 2 other Sudanese pastors came, you know, immediately they asked me to preach, you know, and then I understood why I had this wonderful time of 5 months deepening my prayer life, 3 months deepening my Bible knowledge, and then preaching for 6 months in this prison chapel. You may wonder, you may say, wait a minute. You were arrested because helping Christians or documenting the persecution. How come that you can preach in the chapel in prison? Of course, we were closely monitored by the false brothers who were reporting everything what we were preaching on. But we did not worry. You know, we were already facing death penalty and we were in prison. Nothing worse could actually happen to us. So we experienced such a wonderful time in prison. And we saw desperate, hopeless, and forgotten people to hear the gospel and to respond to it. And usually whenever there was another month's anniversary, especially when it was 1 year anniversary, on December 10th, 2016, the Lord brought me a young boy. His name was Abraham, and I shared Christ with him, and he gave his life to Christ in such a wonderful way, and I'm still in touch with him. Amazing what the Lord has done to me just to show me that He wanted me to be there. And one day we were literally, we were sitting in the chapel with the other 2 pastors. We knew that the Lord was in control of our time, and we stop being worried about when we will be released to prison, from prison. Of course, we wanted to go home. We wanted to go home to our wives and children, but we were so excited about the word being preached by us in this prison that we could see so many people finding Christ. And exactly the word, you know, when Pastor was reading these scriptures that should be our instruction how to pray for the persecuted church, he almost have used all my ammunition for that, because he mentioned most of the verses, especially the verse from Ephesians 6, 18 through 20, when Paul, being an apostle, and in the first when you start reading the book of Ephesians, the epistle, you will find out that at first Paul is praying for the Christians in Ephesus. But at the end of this epistle that he wrote from prison, he is asking the believers that he brought to Christ to pray for him so that the Lord would give him the right word whenever he opens his mouth, because he considered himself to be the ambassador of the gospel in chains. And we were also in chains. You know, whenever we were brought to meet, for instance, to meet the consul officer, they didn't allow him to go to the prison. They brought me to another nice place to show him that I am being kept in a nice place with the green grass, even though it is in a desert. But I was brought in chains. I was brought escorted by six heavily armed soldiers. Four of them were just guns. Two of them had machine guns. That's how dangerous I was. But you know, one day when we were after the first court session, you know, when these sisters were singing the song, you know, and the song was about the David and Goliath, and they were singing in faith that the Goliath that they considered like the government will be struck down and removed. And we were so deeply encouraged by that when we heard them singing. We at first could not see them. They were singing in the language of those two pastors from Nuba Mountains, in their native language. I can tell you that we could not hold our tears when we heard them singing these songs. And later on we could see them as we were leaving the court building. And when we were waving, and we were always chained together or handcuffed together, so I was always handcuffed because I was the accused number one, which is Mutahaman Awal in Arabic. I learned even more Arabic when I was at the court session, because they repeated so many times. So, and he was Mutaham Al-Thani, which was the accused number two. We were always handcuffed together. And we, with our hands handcuffed together, we were waving and greeting the Christians. And the word that we later on shared with each other, the Lord has reminded us at the same time, the same word from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. I will read it and you will understand how we were actually again living the scripture. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. You know, we were seeing the time and viewing the time of us being in prison like the light and momentary affliction, like Apostle Paul said. Because we were so excited, because we were doing, as Paul says, what is 6 months, what is 14 and a half months, what is even 14 years in prison if the Christian can preach the gospel and bring so many lost souls that could then spend the time, their whole eternity in heaven. And so the Lord has allowed us to see this from this perspective, and it was such a wonderful time. And what could we say? We were just speechless, because we saw clearly that the Lord's ways and the Lord's thoughts with us were far more exceeding our personal or earthly or human thoughts and ways that we planned. The Lord has turned this into His glory, and that's why His name should be glorified. Thank you very much.
Oh, Dave.